and the administrative work and conducting the service at the same time. Was he called Reverend at this time?
Well, a lot of people call him Reverend because he had his full outfit and he used to conduct in communities when he would come here often. That was before he got married.
He is now. I was wondering when he became, you know, when he might have become. Felix has already agreed to take us for an interview with his brother. Well, we'll go to Maui. You can tell us now where you live. Before I leave, we're going for sure.
Wait a minute. Before class starts.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Either I go to New York or Maui.
No, really.
So he was the one who was in charge of the branch office in Maui from the beginning.
Yeah, he's the only one I can remember.
Can you remember? Were there other people in the office aside from Napoleon Augustine? Did they have their own building? That would be another, like, was there actual place that was there? Interested in what sorts of things he did during his Sunday school classes. Like, what? How did he conduct them? What did he tell you? What were the important messages you had to convey to you during? Do you remember much about what went on during the Sunday school services? After this time, then, can we assume that you stopped going to the Catholic Church?
Oh, you can say definitely once you got into high school.
Yeah.
Or like they went to Cambridge, probably, or constituted and just went to Sunday school.
What was the position of that?
Catholic college.
Because my one main reason was I had to be a driving, so I had to drive mommy here to Sunday school.
So your mother attended these?
Yeah.
So in other words, adults and children all attended. It was more than just a children's Sunday school. It was like a religious service.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about how they were conducted? Like, was it similar, exactly the same as the service that we attend in Caligi now? Or was it somewhat different?
Yeah, I think it's similar. They had the same song. And we had singing without the full orchestra. There were some of them to the organ, we had some of them to the organ, it kind of looked like their own voices.
So they had an organ?
Yeah. And they called on different people to speak their fellowship.
And women were called on?
The mother was called often. I think that's how we got
trained. Oh, I see. Did your father attend?
It's
your mother.
Mother's influence.
But so you went with your family, your brother especially, was very active reason. But this song would have been different, right? Because some of the songs here, like that.
Before the Green Book, they had their own little
family.
But they're all to become from this one.
But they wouldn't have had the songs that pertain to Mother Diana.
They
had those before too?
Yeah. When those songs were composed and passed out.
Yeah.
You do it still alive.
Yeah. You're still alive and these songs are being sung.
But she was the one who made them in the project.
Oh, yeah.
All together
in a book form. But even on Maui, this would be, let's say, sometime during the 50s, then these songs were already in, like Maria de Salve, you know, that song. I had thought that those songs had come in after Hilario died, and that was the time that his wife took over. But I mean, I could be wrong. I just assumed that.
No, even which song?
The songs that particularly, like there are the science songs in there mainly pertain to the master.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we seem to have seen a difference in some of the songs, particularly Mother Diana, Maria de Salve, the ones that seem a little bit more Catholic. We thought that they had come in after the death of Dr. Mercado.
Those newer songs came from
Mama Joy. So that would have been sometime between the late 50s and early 60s. Yeah.
When people spoke now, it's basically a Visayan group, right? How did you feel like Locarno in that Visayan environment, especially if people were talking in Visayan?
Now when I'm listening to them, I just pick out few words. I really don't understand the whole gist of what they're talking, so I just sit there and listen quietly.
Did Napoleon Augustine speak when he did prayers in the time?
He can speak in the
So the service was were you the only family that was regularly attending, or were the rest of the congregation mostly single men, or were there other families that also attended?
No, there were other families.
Other families.
You know, moms, there were families, parents and children, or the mother and children.
What would be the average attendance?
Maui was a small congregation, maybe less than 20. It becomes an individual member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
A small group.
But they were regularly
So whenever you see them, it's just like welcoming a family member, extended family member.
Were there any spirituals? Were there any men who actually had gone full scale into the religious aspects, but grown long hair and were vegetarians? Were some of them also attending the service?
Mm-hmm.
About how many, what percent of the congregation would have been? Like, were there more than five or six of these?
I know in Honolulu they're more spiritual.
Of course, by this time, I think Dr. Moncada had already separated the spiritual from Honolulu
Valley.
So there may be many of the people who had originally been out in the outer islands have come in. I'm not sure.
Because then Maui, most of them are material, they're mostly family.
I think you asked if you said that you don't remember how your mother got into the Federation.
I don't know. I was born into it, so I don't know how that.
You don't know how they were recruited.
How did
you get around? You would be the only one because your brother had died.
only talk to Napoleon.
Oh,
yeah. We'll do a long talk. In fact, it would be nice if we can all join us.
Because people really want to go out and find the reason that remember. We get together before we all forget about
it. I think it really is when you go deep into the new society and call it the universe.
Your mother, you say, is still alive.
No, she's back there.
So not your father,
my father is alive, so he keeps staying with us.
I was going to ask one other thing. This is within the Maui community area there, where most of the Filipinos maintain their adhesion to the Catholic Church, did you say, the most of the Filipino community? Was there any, like, did you ever have any tension or feeling about the fact that you had joined, which you went to Sunday school as a federation? Was there any ill feeling between people who were in the federation and people who, they maintained their membership in the Catholic Church? Did you ever perceive anything like this? Or?
Not personally.
No.
Other Filipinos were not members of the Federation. Did you get any kind of feedback from them as to why you're a member of the Federation?
No. I only know that, you know, wherever we went, for example, if there's a party and they have a billboard and, you know, whatever, we won't make it an ambassador because we just go right down the line and just keep up with the news. And if they notice that, they, you know, they make comments that they want one to be good or how come you do that.
So in your family, then, you did hold to many of the eating habits that were prescribed by the men. Until now.
Most of our meals are seafood, poultry,
vegetables. And we have relatives, right?
On mama's side, we have lots of relatives over there.
Yeah.
In fact, when they have parties, they make sure
that they have something for you.
Yeah. And what is the reason for that? For you know, the diet? I know vegetarian in the, like, in your, from your perspective,
like. Well, because they think our parents didn't eat, and we allowed to cook, just cook what everybody hated, so we just kind of followed in.
Yeah.
And we never did that. I mean,
why?
This was never then part of the, like Napoleon Agassiz would never explain this, as far as you can remember, in the services. Like, there aren't any explanations of things like this in the services in Kalihi. Those, they were like testimonies and the services conducted the same. There isn't much teaching, in other words. You don't remember being taught that this is the way you should do something, or, you know.
As far as food,
or, you know, any other of the, you know, like.
The religious significance.
Your mother, you said, prayed on a regular basis. Was this something that she had learned because she had learned that she had been taught this in the classes or in the church? Or did she do this? Was this her own devotion?
You were instructed, right?
Yeah.
So you, the two of you, were never recall actually being instructed yourself.
By your mother.
But
Observe. And then he passed on those instructions to us.
And then the eating habits you just learned through the family.
And within our family, not everybody follows. You know, like, she and I, for a while when we went to school, we could follow the rest of our family, eating whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then we stopped having a learning stuff. But now we find health-wise good, low fat. Not too much protein,
so you know, we're in the right track.
Oh, that's right. There's some of the things that the members have been practicing are what other people are finding, you know, now. So, like, within our family, Brother Al and Linda, Daddy is pretty good at, he doesn't eat meat, so we do the cooking, so we just make it like everything.
So your father, in a sense, also fell into the same eating habit, even though he may not have been an active member.
Do you remember if your mother ever fasted, or if there was fasting in your family?
I can see.
I know she did.
Yes, she did.
Was it many times or just one time?
Did she ever talk about visions or anything that occurred to her during these days? Yeah, like we have had many of the people have told us that at several occasions, particularly the master has been involved, like the talk that Sankuru Nabarin did. He told us about his experience, the miracle that a master had performed in healing him by appearing to him while he was very ill one time. And this was a big, major turning point in his thing. He told us about this in the congregation the night of the memorial service. I'm wondering if your mother may have had similar experiences where she may have had a vision or some sort of a miracle related to the master.
I don't know. I only know that she said, you know, from personal experiences, she really believed. Yeah, she did fast.
She did fast. And she had a very strong belief. Did Dr. Mercado ever come to your church? Did you ever see him? How many times? And why don't you tell us a little bit about that, what you can remember, because that's...
The family, we used to have a lot of these informal get-togethers, and other members of the organization would come and visit the home on Maui now, and they would just talk about the experiences they had with the monster.
And
so
we would be there.
Yeah.
Actually, we would be there listening.
So fascinated with all these stories. Within our own experience, he used to come to our home when we were in elementary school and high school. He brought all his friends, right? He went golfing and brought his Korean friends or Oriental friends.
Yeah. Whatever friends he was with, they always came together and he always brought them in.
And mother and our relatives and friends all came and did the cooking. And so during those times were the times when he would pick us up on schooling, finding school, without saying, practicing my summer lesson, and things like that. So we had this personal touch with him when he came to the house. And then when he came to meetings, to talk to the whole Maui group, when we were there to listen to the meeting. Elementary school, high school.
So you know, how many times did you come to my house?
Quite often. Whenever he came to Maui,
he was good.
Most of the time.
And eat with you.
Eat with the family.
And sometimes when you went around, he sent someone to go and look for us.
Was it because your mother was a special member? Why did you particularly choose your family?
No, maybe because we don't like the family.
Yeah.
You know,
did you know this to other families?
I don't know, really. He may have. Yeah. And even in, over here, even down here, the last time he called us to go see him at Manoa, he was still at Manoa House before he died, the last time. We were at Clear Hall, right?
We were at the dormitory.
And he said, come pick us up, come to the Manoa House. He just talked to him. And we talked about the Philippines and whatever experiences he had. And then that last night we had, that night we had him there, and he took us to this, they had this new quarry on the side of the piano there. Mm-hmm. And he played the piano and he played. And so these personal experiences we had with him.
So he played the piano also?
Well, he played with his elbow, you know.
Oh.
And moving around.
Yeah, moving around. But because it was the wife that put him in the opera. Yeah.
Was Mama Soy with him during his visits, like in Maui? Do you remember?
I don't remember Mama Soy.
Was
I mean,
he
was Maui one. Yeah, mostly.
He would come along.
Himself and his golf friends.
Do you remember these persons, the names? Like the Howley friends?
I don't know.
The family names. These would be his golf partners.
Some of them.
You said yesterday, you were 18 homes. That's a book.
Right.
18 years. Yes, that 18 homes.
What sort of a person was he?
Very articulate.
Dynamic.
In English.
In English, yeah. Whenever he spoke to us, mostly in English. Vocabulary-wise, large vocabulary. What he would do is probably pose a question, get out, and if you want to argue with him, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then he would, you know, probe you further. Question, depending on what you answer.
And the topics of the discussions were mostly with regards to like Philippine independence, or what sorts of things did you talk about?
About school.
Like
you're
in
school.
Yeah, what, how are you doing, you know, how are you doing in school?
You would pick up on us, whether you were going to, whether you're doing well in school, and
what kind of activities.
Yeah.
What would you like to do?
Would you consider him an important influence in your interest in continuing your education? Like this interest in your education was something that kept you going, with you, or was it something you would have done anyway?
He would be an influence.
Although the initial motivation was probably
was yours. Once you got in, so he.
Did you think? How did you speak English? Well,
you being like, just a slight accent. Because he's really dynamic.
He's a dynamic speaker. I kind of, if I met him when I was small,
kind
of in awe of him. You know, because he comes on very dynamic, tall language.
Was it a powerful voice?
Yes. Powerful. Some of them have, some of these members in Korea have tape recordings.
They
do?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'd love to.
That was wonderful.
And I'm sure
Pastor Augustine
has, you know,
mm-hmm.
Napoleon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to play when he used to play one, right? And then you can hear his voice. And some of them might hear voice.
Yeah.
And then some of them have Mama Soy
singing. No, just talking.
I don't know if singing.
Who would be in Kalugi, aside from that I guess he's in Maui, who would have this place? Would you try to say something?
Tell us Felipe.
Felipe.
Probably he would have anyone.
Faustino.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's sort of, I get the feeling he's become sort of an archivist of sorts.
He's a grandfather of a family of children. They don't stay for the full service, they just come for a little while. But he's a grandfather of that family that are also education oriented. The oldest son.
They sit in the back.
On the side, they come.
Yeah.
Just for a little while. It's a family of three boys and one girl.
Three boys and a daughter.
Does he live with the Baron?
No.
Do you know what family he is? We're trying to get the whole visit. He lives in Kalapa, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
He told me once, and I...
He wanted to take my team to Ruano.
To play for those children, I think.
Right.
That was the thing. He said something about taking the Italian version to play for his grandchildren.
So
I told him I would, but we've been trying to... we had to leave early after last service. Yeah. We were going to see him then.
What about Mama Toy? What do you remember about her?
She's more the cultural influence, yeah? Although she does, when she spoke to the congregation, then the good talk for you. You can know more of that, especially to record notes on whatever she said in church.
You have to find it now.
Yeah, because remember, well, one of the things we had to do this summer was try to clear off many of those pieces.
But she got the members interested in opera, concert.
I've been attending dances.
Community projects, like at the consultation conference, you need workers to clean up the area before Independence Day convention, and they would call on members of the organization to help clean up.
I know she's a beautiful woman. So compared to him, was the master approachable? Did people feel that they could go to him anytime and talk to him and that he would listen to them?
I was going to ask is, like, when you spoke to him, he didn't always come across as a religious leader. In other words, he also came across in a sense as a father figure, someone who you could discuss problems with in the material side. Did he also have a religious side that where he would, at some point in your conversations with him, he would stress religious aspects of your life? Or was he mainly just someone who you could go to with any worry and not have to? Was he always serious? Did he joke?
Did he joke?
Yeah, I mean,
he had a wonderful sense of humor.
He wasn't always someone who came on as a very serious, religiously internal, introverted sort of person. Obviously, he was a dynamic speaker, and he could tell stories, things like this. But on a person, on a one-to-one level, when he would come to you, would there be a point in your conversation where he would stress more of a religious aspect than something else?
Now, probably if you wanted to ask.
In other words, he wouldn't force this on you.
What about when he gave speeches, like in the churches? Did he talk about religious things? What would he say? What would be the subject of his?
Well, when he talked to the people, when the congregation was there, we were talking about science.
So it was difficult for you.
Yeah.
Did you get the feeling though that sometimes he would be giving religious messages?
Uh-huh. I would think so, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. The other curious thing that I've always wondered is that obviously the master is thought very highly of religiously, close to God, if not by some of the members, of course, I think, see him as a reincarnation of Christ through Rizal. So, I mean, that's very clear in some of the literature. I wonder if he ever, did he ever talk of himself in this life, as far as you know, or was this something that generally others would say of him, say about him? This is something that I've, like, did he ever, I wondered if he ever would ever say this in public.
Now, in other words, you're saying whether he said explicitly, "I am God,"
or "I am." Did he ever propagate a belief in reincarnation? That would be another thing. Like, it's very clear in some of the literature that reincarnation is one of the things, and that there is the reincarnation of Christ through Rizal, and then many believe through the Master. Would he ever talk about these things?
Okay, now personally, I never heard him say, "I am God," even during our informal, you know.
Yeah, discussion, yeah.
But I don't know.
Again, you don't know what he might have said at the time, but yeah, my feeling is that he probably did not. It was something that became associated, but I don't know. You know, I would have loved to have heard one of his Visayan talk.
Yeah,
maybe try and get a copy of it and translate it.
One of those records that we have,
We would also appreciate if you could share with us any old programs that you may have had, and banquets and activities from before.